wonder how many people would be as patient as Yaakov was to get his wife. 7 years and then be given the wrong one. People can't go 7 months today without moving in together. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, I'm not going to speak on that. But let us pray before I do. Abba Father, open our eyes so that we will see the wondrous things from your Torah this day. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence. Because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Today I've taken my message from our reading in Bereshit, where Yaakov says, surely Yehovah is in this place. I like to think that he is in this place,
Amen.
Where we are, each time we are here. I like to think he would be in your homes every day, that you can feel his presence, that you know him, and that you can talk with him, Amen. And that you can bear your souls to him daily. So let us go to Bereshit 28 verse 10. I'm ringing. Please. So Yaakov went out from Be'er Sheva and travelled towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed the night there. And because the sun had set, he took a stone from the place, put it under his head and lay down there to sleep. He dreamt that there before him was a ladder resting on the ground with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of Yehovah were going up and down on it. Then suddenly Yehovah was standing next to him, and he said, I am Yehovah, the Elohim of Abraham, your grandfather, and the Elohim of Yitzhak. The land on which you are lying I will give to you and to your descendants. The next slide. Verse 14, your descendants will be as numerous as the grains of dust on the earth. You will expand to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. By you and your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Look, I am with you. I will guard you wherever you go. I will bring you back into this land because I won't leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Yaakov woke up from his sleep and said, truly, Yehovah is in this place, and I don't know it. It must have been amazing to have your head on a rock to sleep with in the first place. I don't know whether I could cope with a rock all night. Malachi is pacing. What's the matter?
Oh, we're getting a lot of echo.
Yes, I know. Is it from this mic?
No, that's
being turned on?
The volume's off on that mic. I think it's just that the little knob thing is too far.
Too far from where? Won't go any further.
Can you bend the wire?
It's been bent. It doesn't go any further, honey.
That's what that mic's picking up that other speaker.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. He said it's off. No, it's been ringing all day. I know it's a pain. Sorry. How is your prayer life? Do you get into prayer so deeply that you wrestle with Yah and don't know it? Yaakov woke from his sleep and said, truly, Yehovah, the self-existent or eternal one, as in this place, and I didn't know it. How could we wrestle with Yah and not know it? How can a person miss the presence of Yehovah? We'll go to the next slide, please. In Yochanan or John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with Yehovah, and the word was Yehovah. And in verse 14, the word became a human being and lived with us. And we saw his Shekinah, the Shekinah of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. So what that's saying is that the word became a human being or was made flesh, and we saw his Shekinah, that is his glory, and the Father's only Son. It was the glory that was full of grace and truth. In Luke 1 and verse 35, it says, then an angel answered her, and we're speaking about Miriam, the Ruach HaKodesh will come over you, the power of Ha-Elyon, that is the great High God, will cover you. Therefore the Holy Child born to you will be called the Son of Yehovah. Yeshua was Yehovah Almighty in human flesh, referred to as the Son of Yehovah, and also he referred to himself as the Son of Man. He had a dual nature. Yeshua had a supernatural, righteous, divine nature, as well as a human nature. He was the spirit of Yehovah in the flesh. We know that Yehovah is spirit, and we have to worship him spiritually and truthfully. So Yehovah is spirit, and Yeshua was Yehovah in the flesh. He was all Yehovah, and he was all man. But not all of Yehovah was confined to one body. Okay? Yeshua was all Yah and all man, but not all of Yah was confined to one body. Yehovah is omnipresent. That means he is everywhere. So he didn't leave the rest of the places he was at, or leave any space empty and void himself just to inhabit one body. We all know the story of Yeshua's birth. Heavenly choirs of angels were singing and shepherds were coming, and the wise men came and brought gifts, which was about a year and a half later. And you know that the parents were taking him to the temple 40 days after his birth. While they were there, they came across two people, Shimon and Hannah. You might know them as Simeon and Anna. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Luke 2:25-30, it says, there was in Jerusalem a man named Shimon. This man was a tzaddik, that means he was righteous. He was devout. He waited eagerly for Yehovah to comfort Israel, and the Ruach HaKodesh was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Ruach HaKodesh that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah of Yehovah. Prompted by the Ruach, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Yeshua to do for him what the Torah required, Shimon took him in his arms, made a brachah, that is a blessing, to Yehovah, and said, now, Yehovah, according to your word, your servant is at peace as you let him go, for I have seen with my own eyes your Yeshua, your salvation. And the next slide, please, in verses 36-38 of the same chapter. There was also a prophet named Hannah Bat Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was a very old woman. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and had remained a widow ever since. Now she was 84. She never left the temple grounds, but worshipped there night and day, fasting and praying. She came by at the moment and began thanking Yehovah and speaking about the child to everyone who was waiting for Jerusalem to be liberated. So few people at the time truly understood who Yeshua really was. Yehovah in the flesh, As a fleshly man, he felt heartache. He felt pain. He felt sorrow. As a man, he also suffered temptation in all points, the same as each and every one of us are tempted. Yet, he remained without sin. As a man, he also felt hungry, thirsty, and tired. He felt all the things that we feel. If we can go to the next slide, please. In John 14, verses 6 to 9. Yeshua said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Because you have known me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him. In fact, you have seen him." And Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, as it will be enough for us." Yeshua replied, "Have I been with you so long without you knowing me? Without you knowing me, Philip? Whoever has seen the Father has seen me, has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Now we say each week in our liturgy, Yeshua is Jehovah. He is. Yeshua ministered for 3.5 years on this earth. But he was constantly put down. He was challenged. He was insulted publicly by scribes, the Parashim, that is the Pharisees, and the Zedekim, the Sadducees. He came to be the saviour of the world, but he was not accepted because he didn't fit the mould that the religious world of the time had made for him. The Talmudim, or the disciples, he chose to establish his messianic community in the earth, were met with ridicule and scorn as ignorant and unlearned. It is no different today for the messianic community. You have no idea the things that have been spoken about me and to me over the past 19 years since we've been running this ministry, especially as a woman. It makes it so much harder. We do not fit the Christian mould, let alone the politically correct or the LGBTIQ mould of today's society. We don't fit it. We never will.
Amen.
When our Redeemer comes, he will be our King.
Yes.
We are of his kingdom.
Amen.
Of which there shall be no end. Yes,
on.
We are looking for a deliverer. We are looking for the return of Yeshua HaMashiach.
Hallelujah.
In Yeshua's day, they were looking for grandeur. They were looking for pomp and palaces. They were looking for splendor. They were looking for someone with finery associated with royalty. But when it came to Yeshua, they were saying, "Who do you think you are? You're a nobody. You're a carpenter's son from Nazareth." They didn't even believe that he came from Beit Lechem, the bread of life, who came from the house of bread. They did not accept Yeshua, so they began plotting and they began planning his demise, posing trick questions such as, "What power do you do this by?" Or, "Tell me first, was Jochanan's immersion or John the Baptist of man or of Jehovah?" This question put Yeshua between a rock and a hard place. How many times have you been stuck between a rock and a hard place because your faith in Yeshua? Because you worship on Shabbat on a Saturday? Because you no longer call him Jesus or Jesus to worship the sun god Zeus? How many of you have been put in that position.
Every day.
You know, if only they had realized in Yeshua's time the kind of power they were actually looking at.
Yeah.
Yeshua's power healed every manner of disease,
Amen.
Cast demons out of the possessed. It fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. His power calmed the storm by speaking to it. It allowed him to walk on water and then transported the whole boat to the shore like that. Once Yeshua got in the boat, they were at the shore. How did that happen? And that's all in Yochanan chapter 6 and verse 21. He raised the dead. What more proof of power could they want? In the next slide in Matityahu 16:13-19, it says, when Yeshua came into the territory around Caesarea Philippi, he asked his Talmudim, who are the people saying the Son of Man is? They say, well, some say Yochanan the Immerser, others Eliyahu, still others Yirmiyahu, or one of the prophets. But you, he said to them, who do you say I am? And Shimon Kepha answered, you are Mashiach, the Son of the living Elohim. And Yeshua returns, Yeshimon bar Yochanan, in other words, Simeon, son of John. Yeshua says to him, how blessed you are, for no human being revealed this to you. No, it was my Father in heaven. And in the next slide, in verse 18, I'll also tell you that you are Kepha. So where his name was Shimon or Simeon, Yeshua changed it to Kepha. And Kepha means rock. On this rock I will build my community, and the gates of Sheol will not be overcome by it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Kepha was given the power. Then Yeshua never said to Kepha, pass it on. Divine revelation revealed Yeshua's true identity to Kepha. Yeshua tells him, Kepha, I'm going to establish my messianic community on this revelation that you have of who I am. I'm going to give you the keys of heaven. I'm not going to give them to anybody else. Whatever you permit here on earth, prohibit here, will be prohibited. Whatever you permit will be permitted up there. Kepha then started to speak everything Yeshua told him. He never passed the keys on. He never passed the power on. He never gave the world permission to do the things they are doing today with blurred genders and everything else. Kepha never did that. Yeshua died. He was buried and rose again on the third day. If we go to the next slide, in John 1 and verse 12, it says, but as to many as did receive him, Yeshua, to those who put their trust in his person and power, he gave the right to become children of Elohim, or children of Yehovah. And in John 7:38-39, Yeshua is saying, whoever puts his trust in me, as the scriptures say, rivers of living water will flow from his inmost being. Now what he said this about the Ruach, that is the Spirit, whom those who have trusted in him were to receive later, the Ruach at this stage had not been given because Yeshua had not been glorified at this stage. Having the Ruach, or the Spirit of Yah, in your inmost being is something you'll know about. It's not some mamby-pamby feeling. It's not something that makes you better than anybody else. It's not something that you say, I don't know whether I've got it or not. In the book of Acts, they spoke in tongues when they got it. That's how they knew who the Ruach was and how it lived within them. And that's how they recognized who had it and who didn't. Can we go to the next slide, please? Now look who's speaking. It's not Yochanan, it's not Yehuda, it's not anyone, it's Kepha. Who's in charge now that Yeshua's gone? Kepha. Kepha was still saying these things when the Ruach HaKodesh fell on all who were hearing the message. All the believers from the circumcision faction who had accompanied Kepha were amazed at the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh and was also being poured out not just on the Yehudim, but on the Goyim, on the people from every nation. Yeah. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising Yehovah. Kepha's response was, is anyone prepared to prohibit these people from being immersed in water? After all, they have received the Ruach HaKodesh, just as we did. And he ordered that they be immersed in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Then they asked Kepha to stay with them for a few days because they wanted to learn more. This is the same Kepha who was given the keys of heaven and the power to lead the messianic community after Yeshua. They trusted Kepha. If you believe on Yeshua, like the scriptures say, you are going to receive the Ruach HaKodesh. You might be thinking, I believe, but I don't get it. Let Yehovah be true and every man a liar. If you pass up the Ruach HaKodesh, you'll join the ranks of those millions who will say, Yehovah was right there, but I didn't know it. We go to the next slide, please. In Luke 24:44-51, Yeshua said to them, this is what I meant when I was still with you and told you that everything written about me in the Torah of Moshe, the prophets and the Psalms had to be fulfilled. When he opened their minds so that they could understand the Tanakh, that is the Torah, the prophets and the writings, telling them, here is what it says, the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and in his name repentance leading to forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to people from all nations, starting in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Next slide. Now I'm sending forth upon you what my Father promised, so stay here in the city until you've been equipped with power from above. He led them out towards Beit Anyah, then raising his hands he set a barakah over them, and as he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. That leads us to the next slide of Acts 2, verses 1 to 8. The festival of Shavuot arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from the sky like the roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And when they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came to rest on each one of them, they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to talk in different languages as the Ruach enabled them to speak. Now there were staying in Jerusalem religious Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were confused because each one heard the believers speaking in his own language. Totally they asked, how is this possible? Aren't all these people who are speaking from the Galil? How is it that we hear them speaking in our native language? They accepted the fact in those days that people from the Galilee were unlearned. They don't know what they're talking about. They're from the Galilee. They're not the sages and the scribes and the Pharisees from Jerusalem. They're just from the Galilee. I don't care where you live. You are not just from where you live. You are children of the living Yah. And you have to stand up and be proud of who you are. Amen. Other people will say things about you. They can say what they like. Jehovah knows the truth. And we will all be judged at one stage. If we go to the next slide, please. In Acts 2 and verse 12. Amazed and confused, they all went on asking each other, "What can this mean?" But the others made fun of them, said, "They've just had too much wine." Then Caiaphas stood up with the 11 and raised his voice to address them. "You Yehudians and all of you staying here in Jerusalem, let me tell you what this means. Listen carefully to me. These people aren't drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. Jehovah says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon everyone. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out from my spirit or ruach in those days, and they will prophesy." In those days, it was only the men that were commanded to go to the temple at Shavuot. It was only the men that went to the temple. It's no different to what we see in the Muslim world today, where it's the men you always see going to the temple. It's the men you always see on the street. The women never did. And very few women go to synagogue to this day. It's mainly the men. This is why when they counted the people for the loaves and the fishes, they counted the men. And all, well, probably far more women and children there than men. But you only got the number of men. They were the only ones that were spoken. But when Caiaphas speaks, he says both men and women will receive equally. Whatever is permitted on earth will be permitted in heaven. Kepha permitted women. Even though women are put down for speaking like I do, it's permitted. In Acts 2, 22 and 24 on the next slide. Kepha goes on, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Yeshua from Nazareth was a man demonstrated to you to have been from Jehovah by the powerful works, miracles and signs that Jehovah performed through him in your presence. You yourselves know this. This man was arrested in accordance with Jehovah's predetermined plan and foreknowledge, and through the agency of persons not bound by the Torah, you nailed him up on a stake and killed him. But Jehovah has raised him up and freed him from all from the suffering of death. It was impossible that death could have its hold on him." And the next slide, verse 29. "Brothers, I know I can say to you frankly that the patriarch David died and was buried. His tomb is with us this day. Therefore, since he was a prophet and knew that Jehovah had sworn an oath to him that one day one of his descendants would sit on his throne, he was speaking in advance about the resurrection of the Messiah, that it was he who was not abandoned in Sheol, whose flesh did not see decay. Moreover, Jehovah raised up this Yeshua. We are all witnesses of it. Moreover, he has been exalted to the right hand of Jehovah, has received from the Father what he promised, namely the Ruach HaKodesh, and has poured out this gift which you are both seeing and hearing. It's a gift. It's nothing you can pay for. You can't pay for the Ruach to dwell within you. It's a gift. And it's up to us whether we want to receive it or reject it. If we go on to verse 36 on the next slide. Therefore let the whole house of Israel know beyond doubt that Yehovah has made him both, that's Yeshua, Adonai and Messiah. This Yeshua, whom you executed on a stake, on hearing this they were stung in their hearts, and they said to Caiaphas and the other emissaries, brothers, what should we do? Caiaphas answered them, turn from your sin, return to Yehovah, each of you be immersed on the authority of Yeshua the Messiah into the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. For the promise is for you, for your children, and those far away, as many as Yehovah our Elohim may call. Repentance and remission of sins was preached in Yeshua's name, beginning at Jerusalem, or Jerusalem. It was Yeshua who sent the promise of the Father upon them. How many people, and I suppose I can name all of my Jewish family, have passed up the opportunity to meet Yehovah because they didn't believe his word? They don't want to believe his word. How many have passed up the opportunity to meet Yehovah because they didn't know where to look? Yeshua was right in front of them, but they couldn't see him. They are still trying to see what fits into the mold that they have created for him. But it's up to us to destroy the mold that they have conjured up and accept Yeshua as he is.
Amen.
He didn't promise that there'd be no pain. He didn't promise us grace. He did promise us grace to overcome that pain. He didn't promise us that there'd be no sorrow. We have a family of our congregation in deep sorrow at the moment. But he did promise us comfort. He didn't promise us a life of happiness. He promised us joy. They are two different things. Happiness comes from circumstances around us. Joy comes from inside of us. It's up to us whether we all is well with our soul and we can accept whatever's going on, or whether we want to be unhappy. The joy of Yehovah is our strength, not happiness. It's the joy of Yehovah. You can be going through the most horrific situations, but with Yeshua, all will be well with your soul. Surely Yehovah is in this place, and many don't know it. I don't see any angels around. You might say, Yehovah doesn't need to show you angels to speak to your heart. I don't hear the angels singing. Yehovah doesn't need angels singing to speak to your heart. In Malachi Kim Aleph, or 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm not going to read it to you, it speaks of Eliyahu, or Elijah, was hiding in a cave. A great and strong wind tore the mountains and it broke in pieces and rocks before Yehovah. But the Yehovah was not in the wind. And after the wind came an earthquake, but Yehovah was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake there was a fire, but Yehovah was not in the fire. And after the fire came a small, still voice. That's when Yehovah spoke. Are you being quiet enough to listen to that small, still voice. You may say, I don't hear thunder. People are saying it at the moment. I saw in America and what have you, they're saying they're hearing thunder and the Messiah's returning. I can hear this thunder. Oh, God's not going to speak to you in thunder. They've had fires in America, burning up all the houses. Jehovah hasn't been in the fire. There's earthquakes all over the world at the moment. Jehovah's not in the earthquake. If that is your mold, if you're looking for a sign from heaven in earthquakes and fire or thunder, I'm sorry, but you're going to be very disappointed because you're not going to hear anything. If you have to have an angel, you have to have thunder, fire or earthquake to experience Jehovah, you will miss him. He's in the still, small voice inside that is whispering to you. And don't be confused. It's not your voice you are hearing. Sometimes you can think, oh, that's me thinking that, or that's me doing it. No, it's Yah giving you your directions. It's going to be an experience, if you've never experienced it, when you respond to that small voice. Jehovah wants to speak to you, to everyone listening online today. But too many people have too much noise in their lives and they can't hear him. And after the fact, they'll surely say, Jehovah was in this place, but I didn't know it. One of the saddest scriptures to me in the whole complete Bible comes from Jochanan 1, 10 and 11. Slide 20. It's the last one. And it says, he was in the world. The world came to be through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own homeland, yet his own people did not receive him. Jehovah, the Creator, came to this world wrapped in human flesh and was sacrificed by his own creation through ignorance. Let's not be that ignorant again. Surely Jehovah is in this place and know it. Feel him and trust. I feel him and I trust you can feel him too.